The new owners had the clear and long-considered idea of quickly creating a defense division, unquote, to sell arms of all types and electronic systems. They entrusted this to a foreigner, Reginald Allas, A-L-L-A-S, famous in the world of arms, who prided himself on having access to both the Pentagon and the Kremlin. He began investing money in the business to produce light arms. With difficulty, investigators penetrated this labyrinth and they discovered something else peculiar. A share, 2.3% of Brugge Izar, belonged to the Banco Ambrosiano of Roberto Calvi. He must have known that this finance house was in the business of making arms. Police then remembered another curiosity that before looked casual. Stibom was headquartered in a building owned by Ambrosiano, where lived the former vice president of the bank, Roberto Rassone. And I would interrupt, as we just looked at, his killer and the person who apparently recruited him also very much connected with the P2 complex and Stibom. Continuing. Too many coincidences. Gamba, in search of armored cars, installed himself in the Hotel Richmond, a place frequented by another person prominent in the Calvi case, Hans Kunz, who organized the final voyage of the banker to London. He rented the plane that took him there. Kunz, officially an oil merchant, isn't only that. Last August 2nd, Iran ordered from him $50 million in war equipment. So, in the case of Henry Arsan here, one of his associates, and a person who apparently did his bidding at least certain occasions, is a man named Renato Gamba. Gamba's formerly manufactured commercial firearms, that is, valuable pistols and hunting rifles, decides to get into the military armaments business, and in so doing, he's financed or refinanced by an organization, Brugge Izar, which was described as being very, very mysterious in this article. Brugge Izar has capital participation, albeit only 2%, by the Banco Ambrosiano of Roberto Calvi, in whose headquarters building, Stibom, is also headquartered.
Broadcasting from Foothill College, this is KFJC Los Altos Hills.
Okay, now, excuse me, a very short section of an article here from Corriere della Sera. The motor functions are going already. It's only 9:30. From December 11th, 1982, the headline for the article as a whole is "The Investigation into Arms Traffic Are Extending into Germany." They're talking again about Henry Arsene, head of Stibom, and it says... Oh, by the way, this is again a Jonathan Marshall translation provided to us by Ted Rubenstein. "It is truly incredible how Henry Arsene, contacted by the American and Turkish secret services in 1973, known by the Italian police, continued undisturbed for 20 years under the insignia of his Milan company, Stibom." It's not so much incredible unless you try and maintain that it's a coincidence. Again, Henry Arsene, contacted by the American and Turkish secret services in 1973, also known to Italian police, for 20 years working as Stibom in Milan. We're going to hear a little bit more about Henry Arsene, some of his connections to Western intelligence, which are rather interesting. First, however, we are going to take a short break and give you all a chance to get up and stretch, those of you who are listening all the way through. And since Dave and myself have no choice but to be listening all the way through, we're definitely ready to get up and stretch.
And we're going to stretch our minds and our vocal cords and our lips and tongues, too, which are getting taxed badly here.
That's right. See if we can develop that facility that we, of course, one of the world centers of arms shipments. I thought that might also be appropriate. And what we are talking about, of course, is so far to date the biggest guns and drugs operation yet brought to light, that being Stibom, S-T-I-B-A-M, and that being an operation apparently directly under the control, or at least largely under the control, of those fine gentlemen at the Propaganda Due Masonic Lodge, notably people like Licio Gelli, Michele Sindona, Umberto Ortolani, Roberto Calvi, and others. And as we mentioned, Henry Arsene's main office of Stibom, located in the Banco Ambrosiano building in Milan, that same building where once the scandals started breaking, people went flying out the window there like popcorn. We've talked about that a little bit tonight. But more importantly, again, we're talking about a vast circuit of terror, I guess you could say, starting with the drug traffic of the Middle East, most notably Turkish and Lebanese drugs, opium, heroin, antecedents being transshipped by the Falangists with the help of the Turkish fascist group, the Grey Wolves, into Italy, into Sicily, and processing plants there and going thence to South and Central America, up into the United States, at which point they're exchanged for weaponry and the reverse circuit begins. This is, of course, very important because all along the way money is being made. This is also an organization that is run entirely by right-wingers, and it seems to be being used mostly to profit right-wing organizations, right-wing political factions, and whole right-wing governments. We talked earlier about how some of the profits are probably used, one of those areas being Operation Condor, in which some of these groups, these governments in South America got together and basically developed sanction units for the elimination of their enemies. Not a new concept, but one brought to perfection by people like Stefano Della Chiai and other P2 hitmen extraordinaire.
In the section that we just concluded before the break, we looked at a number of different connections between the Stibom Arms for Drugs ring and the P2 Nexus. We looked at a part capital participation by Banco Ambrosiano in one of the key arms suppliers and Arsene Associates, Renato Gamba. We took a look at an intersection of a lot of people, Danilo Abruciati, Domenico Balducci, and a whole bunch of other people associated with Roberto Calvi, Flavio Carboni, and others, and their connections to Stibom. Just before the break, Nip read a short section of an article in which it basically, the statement was made that it was truly remarkable how Henry Arsan was able to continue undisturbed for nearly 20 years despite being known to the authorities. Well, during this section of the broadcast, we're going to get into some of the international connections of Stibom and the influences of some of the other people, some of the other Stibom elements beside the P2 complex that we just delineated. Again, research credit for the following story goes to Ted Rubenstein, translation Jonathan Marshall. This is from Panorama, the Italian magazine Panorama of May 9th, 1983, and it's an interview with Judge Carlo Palermo, the magistrate investigating Stibom. It quotes him as follows. The common link among the small and big traffic is Henry Arsan, a Syrian who frequently stayed in Italy and who had interests in many import-export businesses. He was involved in drugs and was at the same time a collaborator of the DEA, the American police specializing in the fight against drug trafficking. A man of 1,000 commercial ventures, never scorning the sector of arms. One of the things that we've looked at in the past on our programs, and we're going to be looking at great length in our series on organized crime, narcotics, and the intelligence community, is how the DEA and other American drug enforcement administrations have, and in fact, or agencies, I should say, have in fact been used to traffic drugs as well as to enforce against their distribution. And here we have Henry Arsan, according to the judge who investigated this, a collaborator of the DEA. And Nip's about to read you a short section of an article which will delineate at greater length the DEA connections of Henry Arsan.
Okay. Reading from, again, Corriere della Sera. And a short segment from an article of December 16, 1982. On 5th of August, 1973, an agent of the DEA and a special Turkish agent made contact with Arsan. The American was Thomas Angioletti, says a document from the Italian Interior Ministry, quote, "From that moment, Arsan collaborated with our offices in Rome and Milan, from which he obtained various permits with the help of the agent, to obtain 100 kilos of morphine base from Ismet Seal and Mustafa Cyril." It seems that Arsan played a double game, though, going from a liquor and cigarette smuggler to big-time heroin dealer. So on 5th of August, 1973, interestingly, 1973 is the year that a lot of these things start happening. 1973, I think, is also the year that Muammar al-Qaddafi took power in Libya, and we talked about some earlier events that started in 1973. But in 1973, an American DEA agent, Thomas Angioletti, got together with Henry Arsan, and with the help of Angioletti, Arsan was able to obtain 100 kilos of morphine base. Now, 100 kilos of morphine base, when translated into heroin, I have no idea how much it would be an incredible quantity of heroin, just a mind-staggering amount.
Okay, now the DEA operations of Henry Arsan are worth keeping in mind, because now we're going to be getting into not only some American connections, but specifically connections between Stibom and American intelligence and national security elements. And those connections are massive. Also, we're going to hear about a name of a certain former Hollywood movie actor turned politician who's also going to crop up in connection with this series of figures. One of the main scams that Stibom was involved with was an apparent attempt to smuggle nuclear weapons to the Middle East and specifically Syria. An indictment involving this attempt to smuggle nuclear weapons came to light in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, among other papers, of June 6, 1984. Research credit to this to Ted Rubenstein. This is an AP story, Dateline Trento, and headlined, 30 Accused of Trying to Sell Nuclear Arms. And again, we're back to Stibom here. A state prosecutor is recommending indictments against more than 30 people for allegedly smuggling weapons and military vehicles and trying to sell nuclear weapons. Prosecutor Enrico Cavalieri said Tuesday night that he filed the recommendation with Judge Carlo Palermo, who has spent 4 years investigating the arms and drug smuggling ring. Among those listed in Cavalieri's report, according to the Italian news agency ANSA, was Rossano Brazzi, B-R-A-Z-Z-I, the Italian actor known for his movie role in South Pacific and Three Coins in the Fountain. Cavalieri confirmed the ANSA dispatch, which quoted his report to Palermo. He said, more than 30 people were involved in a failed attempt to sell nuclear weapons to three unidentified Arab nations and to Argentina, but declined to give other details such as what weapons or nuclear fuel was actually sold and who produced them. ANSA said the group is also suspected of trying to sell submachine guns, tanks, helicopters, missiles, ships, plutonium, and uranium to Iraq, Taiwan, the Philippines, and Argentina. The prosecutor's recommendations are not binding and are only meant as advice for the judge, who has final say on indictments under Italian law. ANSA said Palermo filed his recommendations Monday with a Trento court, along with 300,000 pages of documents. Details of that report are covered by Italy's Official Secrets Acts. The news agency said Cavalieri's 58-page report recommended indictments for former military officers, businessmen, and several foreigners. ANSA quoted Cavalieri's report as saying Brazzi's involvement was unclear, but that he should be indicted so as to allow a more in-depth examination of his role, unquote. The actor's Rome home was searched last year on a warrant issued by Palermo. Also named in the report, according to ANSA, were Colonel Massimo Pugliese, P-U-G-L-I-E-S-E, once head of military intelligence, Italian businessman Carlo Bertoncini, and Egyptian citizen Ivan Galileos. The report said there was sufficient evidence to try all the men for criminal association. The indictment sought by Cavalieri is the latest in a long series of actions against the ring, ANSA said. Last year, 28 of its members were found guilty of having exported armored cars and helicopters to Iran and other Middle East countries in exchange for heroin that was marketed in Western Europe. They were sentenced to up to 18 years in jail. Palermo told the state-run RAI radio network last year that the ring's operations touched nearly all European countries producing arms, especially Italy, West Germany, Spain, and Britain. Quote, then there are the transit countries, among them Bulgaria, Turkey, Yugoslavia, and Greece. You could say all the countries in the Mediterranean area were involved, he told the radio. So, a couple of the points to underscore about this. We're going to talk about the nuclear arms smuggling scam or attempt to smuggle nuclear arms in a little bit. Two of the key names to remember here are Rossano Brazzi, about whom we're going to talk in just a minute, and Colonel Massimo Pugliese, a former Italian intelligence chief. And as we're going to find out, Colonel Massimo Pugliese, the Italian intelligence chief, has connections with an Italian fascist organization which has an awful lot of connections to an awful lot of other Italian intelligence chiefs. We're going to take a short musical break here from the Radio Free America show number 25 that you're listening to now. In this Radio Free America show number 25, you're listening to an outtake from Radio Free America number 20, the Stibom show from May of 1986. We'll come back to that in 5 or 10 minutes or so after giving you all a chance to rest your thinkers and ears. Back in about 5 to 10 minutes. This was number 20 that we're re-airing part of, and this was originally aired on May 22nd, 1986. It deals with the arms for drugs ring Stibom. We will pick up where we left off. By the way, there is a certain degree of overlap between cassette sides, so if you hear a little bit of repetition, it just means we've changed cassettes here and might give you an opportunity to do the same if you haven't already done it without losing any text. Back to Radio Free America show number 25, reprising part of Radio Free America number 20.
That's right, and one of the places where it comes up, and it's mentioned in the book In God's Name by David Yalop, which we've been using quite a bit during this series of broadcasts, is during 1982, at the time of the Falklands War, and originally, Licio Gelli was attempting to get Exocet missiles for Argentina. Bear in mind, Argentina's strong contacts, the Argentine military's strong contacts to the P2 and to Italian fascists, when we're thinking about these things. Lisa Ugelli was doing his best to get Exocet missiles to the Argentinian military from France. And this first operation fell through, and then Yallop writes about the second one. In August 1982, he writes, the Argentinian junta secretly decided to recommence hostilities against the British forces guarding the Falklands. They felt that with more Exocets, they could win the war and the islands. This time, Gelli dealt with a former officer of the Italian Secret Service, Colonel Massimo Pugliese, a member of P2. Again, British intelligence learned of the proposed deal. The British took steps to ensure that the deal fell through. So Colonel Massimo Pugliese, a member of P2, also indicted in the Stibom case, involved apparently in the same case with Rosano Brazzi, and as we will find out as we're going along, involved in an attempt to sell some weapons of some extreme magnitude to Syria, apparently. We'll talk about that more. But notice again, Licio Gelli, the connection to the Argentinian military junta, the P2 connections, and once again, also, of course, most importantly for our purposes, the connections of the P2 to Stibom.
Okay, and remember the DEA connection of Arsan, and because we're going to be getting into some foreign intelligence connections here right now. Rosano Brazzi is the name we want to look at right now, and specifically we're going to look at Brazzi's connections to a couple of American presidents, Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon. The first of the articles we're going to be looking at comes from the Corriere della Sera of June 4th, 1983. Again, researched by Ted Rubenstein, translated by Jonathan Marshall. Italian film star Rosano Brazzi, 65, gray-haired now, was the Latin lover of the cinema. Interrogated by Carlo Palermo because of his ties with people in the guns for drugs trade. What brought him to Palermo's attention was his recent friendship with General Giuseppe Santavito, ex-chief of the military secret service, SISMI, involved with P2. His ties with Colonel Massimo Pugliese, also of the secret service, arrested on orders of the Trento magistrate. Pugliese had just returned from Alta Coma, where he participated in the funeral of King Umberto. Brazzi is a personal friend of Ronald Reagan and a friend of Richard Nixon. Nothing strange, then, that the president of Somalia invited him officially, along with Santavito, to his country for economic advice. Brazzi knows the top American financiers and could be of help. So, before we go on to the next article, Rosano Brazzi is a good friend of Ronald Reagan's. Now, recall that Licio Gelli of P2 had performed a valuable service for Ronald Reagan on two counts, getting him good publicity in the Italian press, and perhaps even more importantly than that, through the auspices of the P2-controlled Super Sismi and Francesco Pazienza and Michael Ledeen, as we looked at in our last program. The Licio Gelli, again, through the Super Sismi group Pazienza and Ledeen, was able to help get damaging information about Billy Carter, specifically talking about Billy Carter's connections with Muammar Gaddafi of Libya, who in turn has, obviously, as we've looked at, many connections to the P2 complex in and of himself. However, the damaging information published in the New Republic and one other publication, I forget offhand, was instrumental in helping to assure a Reagan victory. And as I said, Licio Gelli also generated favorable publicity for Reagan in Italy. And quite probably as a result of those two events, Licio Gelli was a guest of honor at Ronald Reagan's inauguration in 1981. So when we have Brazzi, the Stibom-linked and through Stibom P2-linked actor being a friend of Reagan's, it's worth taking note of. Also, Brazzi is a friend of Richard Nixon. The connections between the Nixon administration and the P2 complex through Michele Sindona, among others, we looked at in programs 2 and 3. And another name to take note of in this article is Giuseppe Santavito, key person in the Super Sismi group within Italian intelligence, key P2 member, and Santavito, along with fellow P2er and fellow Italian intelligence veteran Massimo Pugliese, involved with Rosano Brazzi, apparently, in some of these machinations. Second article, we're going to bring in some of these same connections, and we're going to mention a very familiar name in addition to Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon. From Panorama of the May 16th, 1983, we find the following. A Sicilian doctor named Gregorio, close to Brazzi, decided to name himself Grand Master of the Sovereign Order of New Aragon, founded, according to him, by the Visigoths in AD 718. His idea was to conquer the island of Barbuda in the Caribbean with 1,150 inhabitants. As sidekick, he recruited his friend of 15 years, Brazzi. Brazzi says his old friend, Frank Sinatra, introduced him to Reagan in 1948. The two men went in on the project with Massimo Pugliese, whom Brazzi met in 1974 when the ex-SID official approached him to do a documentary on Sacre Sindone. CBS 60 Minutes did a show called Return of the Visigoths of the New on the New Return of the Visigoths on the New Aragon Movement. Dean Rusk and Tom Watson seem to have been involved. So some more big American names coming in surfacing in connection with Rossano Brazzi, Massimo Pugliese, and some of the key Stibon performers. Not only Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon, both American presidents with connections to the P2 complexes as we looked at, but also Frank Sinatra, and possibly also former Secretary of State Dean Rusk as well.
Now, the 60 Minutes program referred to the return of the Visigoths suggested that although the people involved, and Rossano Brazzi was one of the people interviewed, although the people involved were suggesting that they just basically wanted this island of Barbuda just to be their kind of home for their particular sort of Catholic-oriented organization, that in fact what it was probably being looked at as was an offshore tax haven, and in fact Robert Vesco had been in the area sometime just before Rossano Brazzi and these others looking at Barbuda for exactly those purposes, an offshore tax haven. Remember, that is very important in these huge arms and drugs operations because these places, since they are not subject to the income taxes of countries like the United States, France or Italy or whatever, it's much easier to hide their doings from government officials, honest government officials.
Broadcasting from Foothill College, this is KFJC Los Altos Hills, and in keeping in mind Reagan, Nixon, Frank Sinatra, Dean Rusk, Rossano Brazzi, Pugliese, Santovito, and the people we've been talking about, we're going to begin getting still further into the American connections to Stibon, and we're going to begin by taking a look at a guy named Garth Reynolds.
That's right, and talking about your offshore arms and tax haven, we're going to be talking about the ultimate in the offshore tax haven. This is an article from the Sunday Times of London. The article is written by Robin Morgan, Anthony Terry, and Dalbert Hallenstein. Came out on the issue of December 5th, 1982. It's headlined, Dealers Tout Arms in Floating Bazaars. This article was supplied to us by Ted Rubenstein. The article itself, we're going to skip the beginning, but it's talking about basically international arms dealers who are using tramp steamers to set up huge floating arms bazaars. That's B-A-Z-A-A-R, bazaars. And using those as a offshore arms dealerships. And one of them they're talking about in particular is an American by the name of Garth Reynolds, who had at that time steamed into London and had supplied a catalog listing all the things that he had for sale. The article talks a little bit about Reynolds' background. Reynolds surfaced briefly in Los Angeles in 1980 when customs officers arrested him on currency charges, but he disappeared once more. He has since been linked to a 71-year-old Syrian arms dealer, Henry Arsan. Arsan was arrested 2 weeks ago at his home in Varese, northern Italy, on illegal arms trade charges after a 2-year investigation. A search of his office uncovered copies of telex messages dated December 12, 1981, offering a list of arms almost identical with the Reynolds wares. The arms were similarly stored aboard ship in Genoa, with identical conditions of sale. In addition to the helicopters and rockets, Arsan had added 10 German-built Leopard tanks and, quote, thousands of Soviet-made Kalashnikov rifles, unquote, a total package worth £138 million. Let me just cut in parenthetically here to mention that one of the most important things for us to remember is when we're talking about things like the strategy of tension and we're talking about journalistic disinformation by people like Claire Sterling, one of the ways that they usually try and tie these terrorist acts to the left is to point out that a lot of them are committed with Soviet weapons or Soviet bloc weaponry. Well, notice here that Henry Arsan, an arms dealer tied directly to fascist terrorists, has got himself hundreds of thousands of Soviet-made Kalashnikov rifles, and in just a moment we'll find out how these weapons get into the hands of these people. Sources in the arms trade and Italian police believe the helicopters and tanks did not exist. They were used as bait to attract big-spending arms buyers in the hopes of selling the huge batches of infantry weapons, a classic ruse in black market arms deals. Other telexes dated as recently as 2 months ago were found in Arsan's files, offering further shipments of arms aboard ships in Italian ports. Such vast amounts of illegal weapons have begun to appear on the black market only in the past 2 years, At first, they came from Libya and other Arab countries eager to offload surplus Soviet arms. But more recently, arms caches in Lebanon, left behind by the Palestinian evacuation, have flooded the market. So we have essentially a lot of these Soviet-made weapons are coming from Libya and coming from Lebanon, being put on the international market by people like Henry Arsene and Garth Reynolds, this American, who is tied to Arsene.
Now, one of the interesting things about that article that Nip just read you was Garth Reynolds' presence in Los Angeles. Now, his presence in Los Angeles in connection with the Steebaum ring is not at all surprising, and particularly in light of the following article. Again, research credit to Ted Rubenstein, translation for Jonathan Marshall. This is from the French magazine Le Point of March 14, 1983. Asim Akaya, brother of a police inspector in Ankara, was charged by him to reveal to Italian authorities the existence of a vast traffic in arms and heroin beginning in Turkey, transiting through Bulgaria for rallying near Trento, a city near Venice. Milan police took the case to Judge Carlo Palermo on November 22, 1979. No one knows why Akaya told his story, but it was incredible. Heavy trucks, TIR, that's the name of the manufacturer, loaded up with heroin and Turkey or light arms in Syria for terrorists and dropped their loads in Trento for distribution throughout Italy, Austria, West Germany, Britain, and even France. In the reverse route, cargoes of arms left Los Angeles for points around the world. Carabinieri invaded the Hotel Carinal belonging to Carlo Koffler. By the way, I would add that Carlo Koffler was the Steebaum associate who wound up committing suicide by thrusting a large needle through his own heart in prison, like so many other people who die in prison. Beginning that sentence again. Carabinieri invaded the Hotel Carinal belonging to Carlo Koffler, the home of butcher Giorgio Malone, the villa of Herbert Oberhofer in Bolzano. They discovered 140 kilos of heroin. They found drugs in Verona and Trieste. Akaya's information was exact. 220 people were arrested. Three of the most important names proved to be Henri Arsene, 70, Mehmet Kantas, C-A-N-T-A-S, 46, a Turk, shipper with a company called Sutas in Los Angeles, and Bekir Çelenk, C-E-L-E-N-K, drug trafficking Turk based in Sofia. I'm going to read those three names again because they're very important, in particular Bekir Çelenk. Three of the most important names, and this again we're talking about Steebaum, proved to be Henri Arsene, 70, Mehmet Kantas, 46, a Turk shipper with a company called Sutas in Los Angeles, and Bekir Çelenk, drug trafficking Turk based in Sofia. Akaya has disappeared. Executed? That is a question mark there. Arsene cracked under interrogation. He said the guns for drugs traffic had been going on for 20 years. He admitted that he was in charge of recycling the billions and laundering the dollars. I would interrupt, perhaps that's what the proximity to Ambrosiano was for. He also produced figures on arms trade, around 300 tanks and nearly as many helicopters salvaged from Vietnam. He spoke of arms deliveries to Khomeini. Kantas escaped ahead of American police and made it to Zurich, where his shipping company has headquarters. He denies touching drugs. That was Bekir Çelenk's job. So the main points here are that the Steebaum Arms for Drugs ring had a major branch originating in Los Angeles, where we saw Garth Reynolds, an American connected with the ring, surfacing in the last article that Nip read you. Now, in Los Angeles, a man named Mehmet Kantas, another Turk, is basically running the show out of a shipping company called Sutas, based in Zurich, Switzerland. And perhaps the most important name here, for our purposes, and bear in mind that we're gravitating towards the shooting of Pope John Paul II, is Bekir Çelenk, described as a drug-trafficking Turk based in Sofia. Recall the fascist Grey Wolves and Mehmet Ali Agha's participation in that group and their connection to narcotics trafficking originating in Turkey and quite possibly the Abdi Ipeki murder. Because Bekir Çelenk is one of the key figures in the supposed Bulgarian connection of the plot to shoot the Pope. So again, Arsene and all the P2 and Western connections, Arsene himself, a DEA agent, with Rossano Brazzi, we have connections to Nixon, Reagan, Frank Sinatra, as well as P2 members Pugliese and Santovito. Now we're moving to the United States. We have a major branch of this company in Los Angeles, and Bekir Çelenk, one of the key figures from the Pope shooting plot, one of the top three people in Steebaum.
And also, as mentioned, like Mehmet Ali Agha, connected to the Grey Wolves drug trafficking in the Middle East. I'm going to read an article from the San Jose Mercury for December 23rd, 1982. The headline is Italian Warrant Links Drug Ring Attack on Pope. This is a Los Angeles Times Wire story, Dateline Rome. An arrest warrant alleging arms and drug trafficking was issued Wednesday for Bekir Çelenk, a Turk suspected of aiding Turkish terrorist Mehmet Ali Agca in his attempt to assassinate Pope John Paul II on May 13, 1981. The warrant, issued in the northern Italian city of Trento, was the first time that the alleged arms ring was publicly linked to one of the alleged plotters against the Pope. In Trento, state prosecutor Carlo Palermo said that warrants had been issued for Çelenk and a Turkish associate named İsmail Oflu in connection with the smuggling ring. Meanwhile, the trial of an Italian couple charged with espionage in Bulgaria began in Sofia Wednesday with a postponement at the request of the defendants, according to the official Bulgarian news agency BTA. Italian police last month broke up what they said was, quote, the largest world organization of illegal arms traffic, operating in Bulgaria, Italy, West Germany, and Turkey, selling large quantities of arms to mainly Middle East buyers in exchange for heroin. Bulgaria is, quote, a principal contact point, unquote, in arms and drug traffic, Italian Justice Minister Clelio Dorita said Monday. Çelenk, who is reported under detention in Sofia and the Bulgarian Secret Service, have been linked to the papal assassination attempt by Rome investigating magistrate Ilario Martella. Well, we're going to be talking more about this so-called Bulgarian connection. But again, note, at this point, as we begin to close in on the closer innermost circle of the Mediterranean merry-go-round, and note these direct connections, we have Mehmet Ali Agca, the would-be assassin of the Pope, working with the fascist Grey Wolves and working with their drug smuggling, presumably. The fascist Grey Wolves involved with drug smuggling, Mehmet Ali Agca, a member of that group. Bekir Çelenk, who, as we're going to find out, is connected not only to Mehmet Ali Agca, but to the Grey Wolves themselves. Bekir Çelenk also is involved with Mehmet Ali Agca and, in fact, helps him to get the gun that he uses to attempt to shoot John Paul II.
Actually, the Agca himself, although Agca changed the story, identified Bekir Çelenk, we'll talk about this next time, as the paymaster for the plot. Supposedly, he paid million marks. It's more than a minor pointer, not to pick nits, but according to Agca, this is the man who paid him. This is the paymaster for the whole Bulgarian plot. As we've seen, he's one of the top three men in an explicitly fascist link arms for drugs ring with connections to American intelligence that we're going to be developing, whose associates intersect with American presidents for about the last 20 years and things of that kind. And so this is the paymaster here. We'll be talking about that next time.
Good point. I'm glad you made that correction. Okay,
the person who got him the gun is interesting too. We'll be going into that.
That's
as well.
Right. Yes. We're going to get to them in a moment. Actually next week mostly. Okay. But again, Mehmet Ali Agca, directly linked through both his organization and through the operation itself and the payment rendered by Bekir Çelenk. Bekir Çelenk, a member of STBOM, International Guns for Drugs Organization, inextricably linked with P2, as we have seen, as well as American intelligence for the purposes right now, inextricably linked with P2, and in fact, apparently laundering the money through the offices that they shared with the Banco Ambrosiano of Milan. P2 and the Banco Ambrosiano of Milan directly linked into the Vatican Bank, and the bodyguard of John Paul II, the man who was shot at, Archbishop Paul Marcinkus, head of the Vatican Bank, collaborator with Michele Sindona and Roberto Calvi, and all these financial affairs, many of which coincide or intersect directly with STBOM. So we have basically a very short connected chain of about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 places directly between Mehmet Ali Agca and Archbishop Paul Marcinkus, the Pope's bodyguard and the head of the Vatican Bank. On the other hand, as we will see later on, the chain of very dismal circumstantial evidence attempting to paint a case for the Bulgarian thesis is so convoluted as to be almost inconceivable how anybody could even try and pass it off in the first place, let alone have the success with it they did. Bear in mind, as we're going into this stuff later on, this direct and incontrovertible chain of evidence between Mehmet Ali Agca and the Vatican itself, a very short, very, very impressively sturdy chain.
And remember also, something we'll be developing at much greater length next week, and we'll be encountering here in a few minutes, the Western intelligence connections to Stibom. One branch of it originates in Los Angeles, the Sutas Shipping Company, and Bekir Chelenk, the reputed paymaster, and we'll be talking about this next week, the reputed paymaster of the Pope shooting plot is one of the top three officials in the Stibom Arms for Drugs ring. As we're going to look at, he also is affiliated with the Grey Wolves, the fascist Turkish, the fascist party of Turkey, or the youth wing of it. Research credit for the following story again goes to Ted Rubenstein. He got this from The Guardian, formerly the Manchester Guardian. I say that to distinguish it from an American leftist publication called The Guardian. But Ted got this from the Manchester Guardian of November 29th, 1982. It's from The Guardian's correspondent in Rome, George Armstrong, and headlined, "Aja to confront accused Bulgar." I'm only going to read a couple of short sections. Skipping down, a Turkish author and journalist, Mr. Ugur Mumcu, we're coming back to him later in next week's broadcast, widely regarded in Ankara as the country's most knowledgeable person on the Turkish underground outside the police, said he had learned without doubt that Bekir Çelenk, one of those whose name is on the international warrant, had met Aja in the Vitosha Hotel in Sofia between July 10th and 12th, 1980. He said that Çelenk was using a false passport in the name of Nakati Çelik, and stayed in room 1078 while Aja stayed in room 911. Mr. Mumcu stated that Çelenk and Oral Çelik, the other man wanted in Italy, were, like Aja, members of the extreme right-wing group known as the Grey Wolves and had fled Turkey after the military coup in 1980. So Bekir Çelenk, according to this information, which in turn quotes Ugur Mumcu, generally considered, as mentioned here, not only the country's top expert on the underground, but an extension of that underground, specifically considered Turkey's top terrorism researcher. And according to Mumcu, Bekir Çelenk is a member of the fascist Grey Wolves, along with Mehmet Ali Aja. And Çelenk's key position in the Stibom Arms for Drugs ring, worth remembering in that context. Now, another possible connection between Stibom and the shooting of the Pope is mentioned in the same Guardian article of November 29th, 1982. It's a mysterious connection, unresolved, but one which will make more sense later in the broadcast. The Italians would also like to question a Gerard Donovan, known also as J. Douziar, D-O-U-Z-I-A-R, who holds an Australian and Iranian passport. He was last seen in Rome in spring of last year, and in his haste to leave, he left a large amount of money behind in a safe deposit box. They believe he may have been involved in the attempt on the Pope's life and in the giant drug and arms smuggling ring, which has been discovered in northern Italy, which included Bulgarian and Turkish connections. So another interesting possible connection between Stibom and the Pope shooting, an Australian known as Gerard Donovan, who carries Australian and Iranian passports and who goes also under the name of J. Douziar. As we're going to see, well, we've already looked at the Iranian connections that was mentioned in the Le Point article of, in several of the articles, actually, of Stibom involvement with arms to Iran. It's worth noting here the Australian passport. That's going to make much more sense later in the program.
Okay, going to read a very short segment from a Washington Post article of December 8th, 1982. The headline, "Three Bulgarians Linked to Shooting of the Pope." The article is written by Sari Gilbert as a special to the Post. And it's just a short segment here. It says, one name mentioned in reports on the smuggling network, that smuggling network, of course, being Stibom, is that of Abuzer Ugurlu, U-G-U-R-L-U, a major Turkish criminal who reportedly met Aja in Bulgaria and was named in U.S. media reports as a key link between Aja and the Bulgarians. Martella, that's Judge Ilario Martella, flew to Ankara to question Ugurlu, who, the magistrate said in an interview earlier this fall, denied any involvement in the assassination attempt.
Okay, so the definite connection between the supposed Bulgarian thesis and before we're getting into the Bulgarian thesis, the definite connection between Stibom and the plot against the Pope is Bekir Çelenk, a fellow Grey Wolf, according to the top Turkish expert on the subject of Mehmet Ali Aja. The Grey Wolves very much involved in the narcotics traffic originating in considerable measure in Turkey. And Bekir Çelenk is the paymaster for this proposed plot. Two other names, interestingly enough, the aforementioned Abuzer Ugurlu, also a mysterious Australian named Gerard Donovan, also who holds a passport, J. Douziar. We'll take a look at the possible Australian connection here. In fact, a definite Australian connection. Well, in a couple of articles that we're about to get into right now. Now, one of the most important aspects of STEBOM, one which obviously has been implied to a certain extent by the fact that Henry Arsan is a DEA agent of long standing, bought drugs, in fact, morphine-based from the DEA, with the many interesting American connections, Rossano Brazzi's connections to Sinatra, Reagan, and Nixon, the link-up between Garth Reynolds and the STEBOM Arms for Drugs ring, and the fact, of course, that one key branch of that ring originated in Los Angeles. What we're going to be looking at now specifically is the massive, massive intersection of Western intelligence, specifically American intelligence, with the STEBOM Arms for Drugs ring. And remember that one of its key figures, reportedly the paymaster, in the plot to shoot the Pope. Research credit for the following articles also goes to Ted Rubenstein, and translation once again to Jonathan Marshall, editorial page editor of the Tribune. The following free articles are from the French magazine, French newspaper, Le Matin. And the first of the articles, it was a three-part series on three successive days in 1984. The first of the Le Matin articles that we're going to be looking at comes from Le Matin of June 20th, 1984. It's an article headlined Bargain Bombs, and it was authored by the Le Matin Italian correspondent Fabrizio Calvi, no relation as far as we know. And Bargain Bombs reads as follows. And remember now, all of the P2 connections and the connection to the Pope shooting that we've spoken about. On June 4th, the public prosecutor of Trento, a little-known town in the north of Italy, asked the indictment of 30 individuals. He possessed an enormous dossier, the fruit of 4 years of inquiry in the four corners of the world. Among those implicated, five persons who served as intermediaries for the sale of three 20-megaton bombs to Syria. Le Matin investigated for 3 months to trace this thread. The dossier is composed of 300,000 pages. Stacked together, they constitute a pile more than 100 meters high. So, interrupting, the documentation upon which, for those people who might be inclined to turn up their nose at this, the documentation upon which this is based, if the papers were stacked on top of each other, would be higher than a football field stood on its end. So, continuing. In this mass are two sheets of paper where one can read, three atomic bombs. Read, quote, three atomic bombs. Weight, 90 kilograms. Enriched uranium, 40 kilograms, U-235, power 20 megatons TNT. Dimensions, 41 inches by 11 inches. The hull is covered with a case of lead for reasons of security and can be used only from an airplane.
Delivery should take place in the country of the buyer. The three can be assembled now and will be ready for delivery 6 weeks later after dispersing 60% of the payment. The net price for the three is $924 American.
$924 million
American, excuse me.
That's a bargain.
Thanks.
Yeah.
They are indeed bargain bombs. Thanks for the correction. If I need similar assistance, please provide it, because again, at some point, you're going to blow one of these with all this reading.
Right.
First phase of the operation. An RWA, a letter of cautioning, engaging the responsibility of a leading bank, will be effectuated for the totality of the sum under the code name GEM in the face of the Trade Development Bank of Luxembourg, Telex 2621, telephone 41893. Attention, Glauco Partel Pass HO63381. Remember the name Glauco Partel. Key name here. Second phase of the operation. Again, still quoting from the documents here. A reunion at a place between the buyer and the seller at TBB. If the buyer isn't satisfied, he takes back the RWA and goes. If he is satisfied, he addresses to Glauco Partel, P-A-R-T-E-L, a letter of credit confirmed irrevocable, transferable, and divisible under the code GEM. This letter authorizes the withdrawal of 60% of its value as deposit. Before this happens, the buyer sends three experts, no more, to the factory of the seller, where they will follow all the phases of production which last 6 weeks. Third phase. Once the three bombs are completed and tested, they will be shipped in exchange for payment of the 40% remaining. From this sale are excluded Israel and South Africa, unquote. Now, this is not a quote from the documents, but continuing with the text from Le Matin. On June 6th, all newspapers subscribing to the French press agency received on their telex the following dispatch, quote, Italy Arms. An investigation over 4 years by Judge Carlo Palermo into an enormous international traffic in arms, including atomic bombs, ended with the indictment of 30 persons. The indictment included notably the actor Rossano Brazzi, interrupting friend of Nixon and Reagan, Colonel Massimo Pugliesi, ex-member of the Italian Secret Service, and four other Italians who would also have acted as intermediaries in the sale of three atomic bombs to Arab countries.